Well, Senator, this is going to be a very impolitic question. I know you got to run here, but we're going to switch topics here after you leave. We're going to talk about first celebrity crushes. Mine was Ginger from the Gilligan's Island show. Who was your first celebrity crush?
You know, I had a huge crush on David Letterman.
David Letterman, I mean, the early David Letterman, yeah.
I know, he was so damn funny. I mean, from the very beginning, he was so funny, even when he had that daytime show.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been attracted to people who have sarcastic senses of humor, and I think somebody who's really funny is somebody who's really smart, and I think intelligence is the sexiest thing of all.
There you go.
I'm a huge David Letterman person, so to this day, I would run off with David Letterman. I will say Salvi is not bad either. I mean, you got to love Salvi, right?
He keeps hitting those home runs. We all love Salvi, absolutely.
And his brother from another mother, Yadi Molina in St. Louis. Our two catchers in Missouri, you know, I'd run away with them too. I think either one of them.
Senator, always appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Okay.
When I was in college, the big question, as I just told Senator McCaskill, for the boys on my dorm room floor was Ginger or Marianne? That's Ginger or Marianne from Gilligan's Island, the slapstick TV show we all grew up with in those days. Given our ages, the question amounted to, who was your first celebrity crush? As I just said, I was a Ginger man. She was the glamorous one, but as I remember it, Marianne had her fervent backers as well. This notion of a young person's first celebrity crush is explored at length in a new book, Crush, Writers Reflect on Love, Longing, and the Lasting Power of Their First Celebrity Crush. The book's editors are Kathy Alter and Dave Singleton, and Dave joins us this morning. He's the author of 3 nonfiction books. His work has appeared in the Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, and Harper's Bizarre. Dave, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here with you. And I'm interested to hear Claire McCaskill's crush is David Letterman.
Not bad, eh? Yeah.
That is a new one. I'm trying to figure out where we would slot that in the book, since we have very discrete sections for different types of crush. That would be in a surprising section.
I'm not sure Letterman was picked by anybody else in your book.
He was absolutely not picked by anybody else.
The senator from Missouri is making some going her own way here, as we say. Let me get our listeners involved here. I hope they call in with the same frequency they're writing on my Facebook page last night with their memories of first celebrity crushes. Give us a call, 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888, or option 2 is to tweet us at KCUR up to date. Kyle Palmer, our morning newscaster, is hanging around to reveal his first celebrity crush. You have the floor, sir.
I'm hanging around because you very vehemently told me to hang around. But
you're here. You're not going anywhere.
So,
yeah.
Well, it's very simple for me. And if my wife's listening, she will not be surprised by this at all because we've discussed this.
Open conversations in your marriage. That's good.
My first celebrity crush, it still holds the water very easily, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Very good pick. Yeah.
Party of Five. And then she did the series of scary movies in the mid-90s. What You Did Last Summer.
That's right.
Very special place in my heart still.
And also here in our studio is Ellie Moxley from the newsroom, whose pick I think needs some explanation. So I wanted you to come in to explain this in person, Ellie, and I appreciate you doing it.
So I texted my mom to say, hey, you should turn on your radio because I'm about to embarrass myself. But when I was a kid, everyone else was obsessed with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I was not obsessed with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Who is he?
He was like, what was it? It was
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement. Yeah. But my obsession was one of the characters. He didn't play. He voiced. It was Simba from The Lion King. And my mother, I remember, sat me down and had to patiently explain to me that, like, I really shouldn't have a crush on an anthropomorphic lion. I'm like 6 years old. But I'm like, no, but mom, like Simba, like he'd be so much fun to play with. And like, you know, he and Nala have their love story. And my mom's just shaking her head. And then I moved on eventually to Hey Arnold and the football shaped cartoon character.
Dave Singleton, did anybody else pick Simba in your book? I suspect the answer to that is no.
No, they didn't pick Simba, but you would be surprised how many people picked characters either from books or movies or TV shows. We had one guy, Tony Tula the Mute, who's a young writer, picked Rydia. I think I'm saying it right, from video games. We had another friend of mine, Jamie Brissick, who's an international surfing champion. He picked Speed Racer. So she's in good company. I think Simba's good.
I mean, the newsroom already knew I was weird, but I'm going to go back and tell them that you told me I am less weird than they all thought.
He sort of legitimized your pick, which was something more than I was going to be able to do for you.
Well, so you know, guys, I think I'm just going to legitimize the whole topic because you guys are so funny. This book, I think that if you start talking about it, it sounds like, oh, yeah, whoever, blah, blah, blah. You kind of get into where you were and what you were thinking at the time and how that person sort of played out in your life, you might have some good stories out of it.
Well, how did you get this idea for a book on celebrity crushes, Dave?
Gosh, I was working on a couple of book proposals, and you know, some of them go and some of them don't. And I had was working on one about celebrity culture, and it didn't go anywhere. And so I was kind of thinking about, well, I really want to write about pop culture. I think pop culture is such a huge influence. We're so influenced by these people that we see that we don't know, but they're on TV, they're in movies or what have you, they're singers. And I wanted to do something about it. And I just had this idea kicking around in my head. And I went out with my old friend, Kathy Alter, the mm-hmm. co-author, editor.
Right.
And she had just had a baby and was dying to get out of the house. And so we went out and we had a couple of Manhattans. And she just out of the blue just said, let's collaborate on something. And I said, okay. And then she goes, you got any ideas? And I said, yeah, actually I do. And so we got very excited about it. And then we told each other our stories. And then they were kind of interesting and about family and coming of age. And I thought, okay, this is good. Then I went home that night to just sort of, because I assumed, well, you know, in our celebrity culture, someone has written this book, right? And I went online to see, thinking, somebody has written this book. I'll buy this book. You know, it'd be fun to. And no one had written it. There was a book about just crushes in general. But I thought, okay, nobody's done it. And then we got serious about it. And that's how the idea was born.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, the ideas are flowing in here. And if our listeners want to call 816-235-2888, I'll read some of them in just a moment here. Let me grab Mike from Lewisburg, who's been waiting patiently here. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Your first celebrity crush, Mike.
Well, you know, probably the top would have been Raquel Welch. And really, a real close second would have been Barbara Eden with I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah. good, yeah.
And both of those got a lot of votes, didn't they, Dave?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I heard a number of Barbara Edens. I tell you, Barbara Eden and that, the navel. I mean, depending, it's navel. Interesting yeah. with your time, you know, whatever era that you kind of came of age, it's interesting because, of course, there are these iconic people in each era. Stephen King wrote about, for example, Kim Novak. I doubt yes. seriously a 25-year-old remembers Kim Novak. I kind of remember Kim Novak. I mean, I didn't know her really well, but I went back after he wrote that essay and I watched Bell, Book, and Candle and a couple of her movies. And I imagined, you know, 8-year-old Stephen King in a movie theater seeing her. And I thought, I get it. Hey, Dave, she's gorgeous.
Dave,
gorgeous.
Let me read to you a little bit what Stephen King had to say about his selection here, Kim Novak. He writes this: I fell deeply in love, although she was adult and terrifying. I could imagine a kiss from her as being a prelude to ingesting me whole, but that would have been okay. Just fine, in fact. He was 8 years old when he first saw her, yes.
Yeah, he was 8 years old when he... Can you imagine Stephen King, like, sitting in a movie theater? And it's great. It's, you know, with these... Some of the really famous people in the book, it's really fun to imagine them as kids. And, you know, somebody like James Franco and Andrew McCarthy, who was the Brad Pack movies and Pretty in Pink. And those guys were actual objects of many, many crushes, James
right.
Franco, Andrew, and for them to reveal who their crushes were and to kind of imagine them being young and totally infatuated like the rest of us was really interesting.
And Mike, before you go, I got to tell you, Barbara Eden was in here, and you should be jealous. Just a few years ago, she was doing a play at the New Theater Restaurant out in Overland Park. And what a lovely mm-hmm. woman. I just enjoyed meeting her and talking yeah. to her. And it was a great interview, just a terrific woman. So I second your notion there.
I would have loved to have talked to Barbara
Thanks,
Eden
Mike.
Because
yeah.
somebody like her who, you know, Can you imagine being Barbara Eden or being any of these people, David Cassidy or whoever, and you're getting older, and yet, you know, you always are going to hold that space for someone. You know, you could be 60 years old, 70. I think Barbara Eden's turning 80, right?
I think you can.
Yeah. And I mean, you will always hold that space for somebody, no matter what age you are. I'd love to talk to her about that.
You know, I love the first line of your book because it struck me as just so enduringly true. You write this, first crushes are enduring. And I'm wondering, why is that? Because they are. They so are.
Well, you know, it's your first time. It's your first place that you explore these feelings. I mean, you're trying on these feelings for the first time. And I mean, you know, you never forget your first anything. You don't forget your first kiss. You don't forget the first time you were aware of big things in your life. You don't forget that crush. And, you know, it's interesting to talk to people and they go, I don't know who my first celebrity crushes. And then I say, you know, we sit with it for a minute and all of a sudden they kind of imagine themselves and like, yeah, okay, I was 7. I was watching Little House on the Prairie and blah, blah, blah. You know, and so then you start getting them back in the space where they were, and then the memories start coming out, and then they, you know, they are evocative. And we have a couple of people in here like Marion Winnick, who's a Baltimore-based writer who I love. She wrote an essay called Jerry's and Greg's about how, you know, she had these two dueling crushes, you know.
Jerry Garcia, Greg Allman, right.
Right, exactly. And, she, you know, her whole life, her whole romantic history has been ping-ponging back and forth between Jerry guys and Greg guys.
Let me go to some phone calls here. Vera from North Kansas City. Vera, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about first celebrity crushes. Good morning.
Good morning. Mine was not Michael Landon, it was Little Joe Cartwright from Bonanza.
Oh, that's a good
show. Whoa, that's a first one. You know what? I haven't gotten that one before.
I was on the Ponderosa. I'm the oldest. I got Little Joe. My middle sister got Adam, and my baby sister, we gave her the leftovers. She got Hawk.
So you assigned the first celebrity crushes in your household. That's new, too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but no, I loved Little Joe Cartwright.
That's a good call, Vera. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Let me go to Rob from Lenexa, who has a pick that I think is shared by a lot of young men across the country back in those days. Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning. It was Farrah Fawcett.
Of course.
Had the swimsuit poster and pillow, so I got to cuddle with her at night.
She had a pillow? I knew about the poster. I didn't know she had a pillow. Wow.
How many of those posters did she sell? But I've read a story about how that photograph was taken. It was like very casual. They just threw a towel over the back of a something, and she posed, and off that poster went into immortality here.
Well, it did, and it was such a – I had it, and I mean millions
everybody
of people had
it.
Yeah, I mean I remember buying that poster in Spencer Gifts, and on the wall it went. And I think that poster to me is such an emblem of this combination of all-American girl and very innocent. But, you know, as you remember, that swimsuit was a little revealing. So there, you know, it was titillating, shall we say.
Yes.
Very, very – cool the way they did that.
Rob, good choice. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Let me go to Ruth Ann from Kansas City, Missouri. Ruth Ann, good morning.
Good morning. I am over 80, and so I have some maybe unfamiliar names, but my first crush was about Freddie Bartholomew.
Who's Freddie Bartholomew, Ruth Ann?
Oh, sure.
He's a darling boy actor.
He was a Mickey Rooney contemporary, wasn't he, Freddie Bartholomew?
That's true. But I then grew into Frank Buck, who was an explorer and made movies about wild animals,
with
my father.
Sure.
And Spencer Tracy, of course.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah. And I bet you remember where you were when you saw Freddie Bartholomew.
I do indeed. I was at the Strand on 40th and Truth.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's a great memory, Ruth Ann.
Wow.
I'm glad you called, Ruth Ann. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Let me go to Rick from Bonner Springs. Rick, you're on Up to Date.
Yeah, I voted for Annette Funicello. She was my first crush.
From the Disney show, right?
Yeah. from
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
I think she was a first crush for a lot of people, Rick.
Well, she was one of the first Mouseketeers to show womanly attributes, and I think that attracted a lot of young males at the time.
That's good. That's good. Rick, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All righty. So long.
Seems to be right along with Marianne. You know, there's something about Annette Funicello and then Marianne. Yeah.
Yes. This hour, we're talking about first celebrity crushes with the co-editor of a new book, Crush. Writers reflect on love, longing, and the lasting power of their first celebrity crush. That co-editor is Dave Singleton. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888, if you want to join our conversation. Dave, you write this in the book, both painfully real and wholly implausible. Your first celebrity crush is a hormonal alchemy capable of producing poignant and funny stories that say much more about the admitter than the admired. So what does it say?
Well, it just says who you like. You know, I think I'd love to get deeper into the whole Marianne versus Ginger comparison, because, I mean, come on, like, look at that iconic difference of type of woman, the sort of all American, blah, 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 and the glamour bombshell, you know. Right. So I think that says something about, you know, what's intriguing you and what you like. And
you also write this: they offered us safe places on the pages of Teen Beat magazine, which I haven't thought about in years, in a darkened movie theater or in front of the TV, nestled in a family of partridges, where we could try on and try out our feelings. Removed from the anxiety of actually having to talk to these gods and goddesses, we could instead dream up conversations while staring at their images plastered to our bedroom walls. Very well said.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, yeah, I think it's that safe space where nobody is, you know, you don't even have to share who it is with anybody. And I wonder, you know, I wonder how many of your callers have actually told anybody at the time who their first celebrity crush was.
You know, I want to tell you, there are a number of essays I really enjoyed. One of them was by Barbara Graham on her first celebrity crush, which was Paul Newman.
Barbara.
She actually staked him out as a kid and then later ran into him. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Barbara is a friend of mine. I love her. She was actually the godmother of this book because she was the first person I talked to the idea about. She staked out Paul Newman. She was a pretty precocious of her, very young teenager, but found out where he lived on Park Avenue and went by and had the wherewithal to sort of take the train in. So in her mind, I think that was the first time she kind of did something so adult and grown up. I think she talks about how she stepped into high heels and just kind of stepped into being an adult to try how that would feel. And acted much older than she was, much more sophisticated than she could possibly have been at that age, to then go into New York City by herself and try on what feel, you know, being a cool, seductive adult woman would feel like.
Yeah. Let me read you some of the choices from my Facebook page. Steve Dennis picked Diana Rigg from The Avengers, Emma Peel.
Sure.
Very popular pick. Kathleen Lusk picked Kevin Costner from his baseball trilogy, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, and For Love of the Game. Jane Harlow, who did she pick here? Talking about Tina Louise was in movies before she was on Gilligan's Island. Mike Sanders picked Joni Mitchell. Dwayne Doherty picked Linda Ronstadt. Duncan Moore was a Joni Mitchell guy as well. M.K. Mustard picked Peggy Lee. Let me find some other choices from women. It's interesting, more men were writing in than women.
That is interesting.
Teresa Durkin Shinneberry wrote Hoss on Ponderosa. Love that big boy.
That's great. Well, look at the diversity. I tell you, one of the things that really surprised Kathy and me about this, I think I can speak for her and say this, is I think we expected there would be more in the pop idol world of, you know, she wrote about, for example, Donny Osmond. We expected there would be more of those sort of Farrah Fawcett's and Donny Osmond's and Ginger's. You know, there every decade seems to have those people who are poster worthy. I think now, you know, Justin Bieber, Rihanna, Ellie Goulding, you know, those kind of people. Every generation, every decade has their own. What really surprised me were how diverse these choices were.
Yes.
I remember talking with her and thinking, God, what if we get, you know, five Farrah Fawcetts? We're asking these fabulous writers to come up with something, and what if they send in essays and they are all they're similar, and they really weren't.
Yes, they were. The diversity is amazing. Some other interesting ones here. Dana Self picked Artie Johnson from Laugh-In, and she writes, "I know that's weird, but Annie Presley picked early Elvis and Motown Michael Jackson. Nicholas Segura was a Raquel Welch, a Penelope Cruz guy.
Yeah.
Let's see." Charles O.S. Stanford picked Patty Duke, which was, yeah, I think, a great choice. Elaine, sure, Garrison picked David Cassidy or Donny Osmond, again, you know, along, yep, those lines. Michael Carter picked Goldie Hawn. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see that. I mean, Goldie Hawn in her bikini on Laugh-In, 1970, 1971. What was sexier than Goldie Hawn in her bikini on Laugh-In?
Absolutely. You know? Back Fantastic. To some calls here. TR from, okay, Overland Park. TR, your first celebrity crush, TR.
Okay, you ready for this?
I am ready.
Ringo Starr.
Wow. Wow. Why Ringo?
And I was five. I don't know. I don't know. Why not John Lennon? I don't know.
Why not Paul or John? Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's interesting because we've got a woman named Janice Shapiro who's a graphic artist, and she did our one graphic essay in this. And she picked John Lennon. And part of her essay is about how she didn't want to pick the popular guy, like everybody was saying, oh, Paul is the cute one. And that she really didn't want to. And we heard that from a number of people that, you know, some of their choices ran counter on purpose to all the super popular ones, the Pauls, you know. Yeah. So that, I wonder if that's interesting. I wonder if that played out in your life at all down the road. Did you like everybody who everybody else?
No, I'm a graphic designer too. And that's what's funny. I was only five.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I didn't have any idea of how I was picking, but recently, I think about that all the time, and recently I saw a t-shirt that said, I'm with the drummer, and I thought,
yeah. right.
And then
right.
The other one, I had another one when I was five, and it was David McCallum.
Sure, absolutely.
Ilya Kuryakin.
Yes.
David McCallum was from...
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Man from U.N.C.L.E., of course, yeah.
He was Ilya.
Well, it's interesting
Kuryakin.
Now that you've thought of it and you've been asked, interesting if you sort of think about, like, where you were at the time and what it was about that and, you know, did it play out in your life? David McCallum, you know, did you develop a love of men in turtlenecks?
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of.
There you go.
Well, this is interesting. I was worried about more men calling. We have a full board right now, and they're all right. Women. I wasn't sure if TR was man or woman, but now we know, and we have a full board of all women here. So, TR, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye. Debbie from Kansas City, Missouri. Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi there. My call is a little different. My crush when I was a teen in the 80s was Martina Navratilova. At a time when not too many lesbians were out, like now, we're much luckier now. She was out from like 1973. I also got to meet her once and give her roses, which was a complete disaster because I just couldn't speak.
I actually interviewed Martina Navratilova. I interviewed her three times, so you can actually Google me and Martina when I was at AARP. She's a fascinating lady. And of course, she was incredibly iconic and groundbreaking, of course. And they're at a time when there weren't many people, you know, like her who were out.
Yeah.
And she did give me an autograph and nobody else the day I watched her practice. So that
That's great.
Great call, Debbie. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Donna from Shawnee. Donna, you're on the air.
Yes, I wondered if you had any others. You had a crush on Mickey in the Our Gang series when I was about 10, and I was devastated to find out he was a grown man already when I was watching.
That's a first, but I like that story. That's great.
Mickey,
did you find out something? Blake. Yeah.
That wasn't Mickey Rooney, was it?
No, it was Robert Blake.
Robert Blake. Oh, okay, yeah. sure. Okay. That's a good one, Donna. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Leslie from Overland Park. Leslie, you're on Up to Date.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
My first celebrity crush was Elvis Presley, and I know I'm in good company.
Yes.
Yeah, you are. I really, really, really wish we had got, I mean, we have 38 new essays in this book, but we don't have an Elvis. And, you know, it does feel bad. I feel bad. You know, I feel like we should have an Elvis here, you know?
You know,
yeah,
Leslie.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, to watch him in that TV special he did back in the early 70s, I want to say, where it was just him on a stage alone, is really something to see. That guy just, talk about commanding
a room. Was that the Hawaii one? Was that the Hawaii special?
Could have been.
Because that was really iconic, that special.
Yeah, yeah.
I distinctly remember being 7 years old and singing his songs in my bedroom, and somewhere around that time I learned that he had already died a couple of years before, and I was crushed.
Oh, wow.
I thought I maybe had a chance to find him and maybe he'd marry an 8-year-old. I don't know.
Did you tell anybody about it? Did you tell anybody about it?
Everybody knew about all my crushes. After that, it was Duran Duran. And it's interesting, you talked about relationships with people assigning, like siblings assigning certain crushes. I had a good friend who... it was Duran Duran members, and so she was a Nick. Hers was Nick, mine was John, and then we switched from John and Simon, and then we had one who, you know, someone mentioned Ringo. Well, this friend, I think she wanted to pick someone different, so she picked Roger, the drummer, Roger Taylor, and oddly enough, I ended up marrying a guy in our class who she always told me looked kind of like Roger. So I think she kind of never forgave me for that. But then in more recent years, actually, I've grown to really like Sting. And about 10 years ago, I actually posed as a photographer just to try to get closer to him. And
did it work?
In Columbia. It did, yeah. It did. Ironically, I would have seen more of the show if I would have just shown up without the camera, and the pictures didn't even get developed anyway.
Yeah.
Something wrong.
Well, you would have gone in the section of our book that's about, we have different sections, and one of them is about people who actually met their crushes. So maybe we would have put you in that one, you know?
Here's some others off the Twitter feed here. Antonia Marcus writes, I've been in a somewhat unacknowledged relationship with Regina King since I was a kid. Do you know who Regina King is?
Yeah, she was the actress who's in Miss Congeniality 2.
Ah, okay.
Very pretty lady.
From our own staff here on Up to Date, Elise Rodriguez tweeted, like every girl who was 7 when Tom and Huck came out in 1995, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Luke Martin from our staff, Sandra Bullock and Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Okay.
Absolutely. Got that. Yeah. No, we've got a few Jonathan Taylor. I've heard Jonathan Taylor Thomas more than once.
Yeah.
Gillian Anderson. That's a new one.
Yeah. Kevin Collison via Twitter from KCUR staff, Elizabeth Montgomery, AKA Samantha of Bewitched. It was a good pick. So, okay. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Valissa. Let's go to Rob from Overland Park. Rob, you're on the air.
Hey, my first crush was Cher. I always wanted to sing with her rather than Sonny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Did you ever meet her?
No, but I went to her concert here in town just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or last year. Yeah. Loved it.
That's great.
Yeah, you know, she's an inveterate tweeter. You should tweet at her. I bet she would respond. She's pretty responsive to people. I think she'd love to hear that. You know, you wanted to sing with her versus Sonny.
Uh-oh, maybe I'd get in trouble if I did. I'm a happily married man.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. You got to weigh that.
Rob, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Valissa from Westwood Hills. Valissa, good morning.
Hey, Steve. Donny Osmond, not a big shock for anybody.
Right.
From the baby boomer era, but about, I don't know, 20 years or probably 30 years after he was my crush, I had the opportunity to meet him when I was at Channel 5
and
morning show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't think that much of it. I thought, oh, you know, Donny Osmond's going to come on our show today. Isn't this cool? And he walked in the studio, and I physically, like, tra- transpired to being a young teenager, and my stomach got all butterflies. I started sweating. I was shaking. I was like, oh, my God, what is happening to me right now? Because I did not expect that in a million years to happen when I met him. But he was just a really charismatic guy.
That's Velissa Smith. That's a great memory, Velissa. I really appreciate you sharing that.
You know, we have two people who we have two essays about in the book, and Donny Osmond is one. Kathy, my co-author, wrote about Donny. And so did Jodi Picoult, who, you know, the best-selling author. Jodi's phenomenal writer. Yeah. Anyway, they both wrote about Donny Osmond, different stories, of course. But Kathy actually published an excerpt from hers on Huffington Post when the book came out a few weeks ago. And Donny Osmond responded. So there's the power of social media for you, something that, you know, none of us had a few years ago, none of us who had crushes had any access to these people versus via Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. But, you know, because she publishes, Donny Osmond responded to her. And I think his note was like, oh, thanks, Kathy. I guess better late than never, because he had never responded to her before.
Yeah,
so that was good.
Velissa, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank Dave Singleton again for taking time with us here today. His new book, Crush, Writers Reflect on Love, Longing, and the Lasting Power of Their First Celebrity Crush. And Dave, given the response here, I think you've picked something that has a lot of interest out there.
I love talking to you and your listeners. I mean, what an engaged group of people. I feel like we should all go out and, you know, have a drink and keep this conversation going.
That'd be
a good time. Thank you so much.
Dave, thanks very much.